The next section is Article 15, Parliamentary Procedure. This sentence was simply changed, even though there's a typo in it, to reflect that
I'm sorry. Could you please repeat where we are?
We're on Article 15, Parliamentary Procedure, which is page 38.
Okay.
Just from a format, does it need to be a space between parliamentary procedure and the wording?
Sure. We'll add that in. There's also a typo. There's a reference to the word wit, which should be with.
Which we don't have
yeah.
They don't have spell checkers in yet?
Spell check wouldn't pick that up.
I have a question. I know this came up in discussion. We sent this to you having parliamentary procedure governing all the activities of the founding board between meetings, and you changed it to have it only govern the conduct of the meeting, and I'd like to know your reasoning for doing that.
Sure.
And then, I will say that my experience with Robert's Rules is occasionally something comes up between meetings where you don't know what the heck to do, and it gives you some fallback reasons, rules to help you sort it out. So
right.
I'm kind of opposed to changing it.
Right, sure. This was actually a discussion that was held by several attorneys in our office who went back and forth on the issue. Our concern was that Robert's Rules of Order sometimes has language that would suggest doing things in a manner different from the bylaws, and so it was our belief that when you have bylaws as detailed as ours are, that the proper use of Robert's Rule of Order to prevent any confusion is to use it for the purpose of parliamentary procedure, which is generally just to conduct meetings.
But it says here that the rules, if they're not inconsistent with the bylaws,
right, and
or other rules or procedures,
right, and that was the compromise language we added in after receiving comments back from my first draft, which would be that, you know, to the extent that they're inconsistent with these bylaws. It is our concern when you have the possibility of two different documents on top of California law that could contradict each other, that, you try to be very clear as to when each document would apply. It is our strong recommendation to only have Robert's Rules apply with regard to the process of conducting meetings.
Any other concerns, questions, or motions relating to Article 15? Hearing none, proceed to Article 16, please.
Article 16 deals with the amendment of Articles of Incorporation and the amendments to the bylaws. We start first with Section 1, Amendment of Bylaws. We have revised this section to address some of the comments we received and some of the postural information. Straw poll. Section 1A addresses the manner in which amendments to the bylaws can be made. They can be made in one of three ways: by two-thirds vote of the board, by two-thirds vote of a local station board, or by a petition signed by 1% of all members.
Okay, now KPOK does have a motion on this. Does anyone else have any language they wish to propose?
It seems to me that our vote didn't George in our lab vote on this.
What issue?
Did Deb Chapto send you? Seems to me, I thought in our agenda, Carol, that we were going to go over.
Yes, we did.
Things, and then we were going to go to the lab's suggestions.
Yes.
So the lab suggestions have been brought up as we go along. So if you've got one from your lab about this,
KPFK's got one too. As I said, but Teresa, go ahead.
Well,
what is it?
Well, I can't remember off the top of my head.
Do you have it?
I'll go find Deb's notes and see if I can.
I'm down with you.
The KPFC, language, if there's no objection.
All right, go ahead.
And that is that to propose an amendment to the bylaws or articles of incorporation, would apply in both instances, would take to propose it, not to pass, to propose it, two directors, three delegates, or 1% of the members. So the reason being to have a two-thirds threshold to propose and a majority to accept, frankly, makes no sense. And to propose something should not be a huge threshold, although 1% of membership is not insignificant, or two directors or three delegates. That's the amendment from KPFK, and it really, I think, does provide a cogent route for proposing amendments to the bylaws.
Well, there's a problem with that that I see, which is if somebody's going to, on the two directors are going to propose an amendment to the bylaws that requires ratification of the members, I would prefer that a larger number of the board endorse it before it goes to the members. You know, see all of those things that the board can't do without approval of the members? So what we're saying, the way I thought about that too, and the way, why it made sense to me, would be there would be no reason, no basis to send it to the members unless two-thirds of the board were proposing it.
Well, can I understand what's going on?
Yeah.
When you propose an amendment, if okay, I understand. Dave says two board members would have to be a, could propose an amendment, right, Dave?
Yeah, two board members, three delegates, or 1%.
Okay, those are three. Those are three separate things, right?
Yeah, three different ways. Actually,
okay.
I withdraw my comment because before it would go to the members, it would still have to be approved by the board.
That's what that was my question going to be.
Yeah.
That's exactly what my question. Doesn't the board still have to, you know, approve it?
Yeah.
Well,
so
no way. Is there not then contemplated a route whereby the members, independent of the board, could propose and have put on the ballot? an amendment to the bylaws.
Yeah, but that's a different thing than you're talking about. You're talking about two board members can propose amendments to the bylaws. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and I'll note that the mechanism whereby this is balloted to the members would be during the regular election cycle instead of a special election. So it would be.
But there are some bylaws that don't have to go to the members.
Right, but those which would have to would then be balloted through the regular method, the regular annual ballot as opposed to a special ballot. But in any event, to propose amendments to board of directors members, two delegates, or 1% of the members.
So you're saying two board members, or how many?
Two directors, three delegates, or 1% of the members.
As opposed to two-thirds for each of the members.
All
right. Because there had to be two-thirds to propose a motion. Hell, I mean, at that point, you know, why have an election?
But we're talking about amendments to the bylaws. Maybe I'm looking at the wrong thing. You're
it's
talking about amendments
motion.
To the bylaws?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Don't
to
you think
it
should be?
Passage.
Don't you think we ought to have, it shouldn't be just, you can just willy-nilly change bylaws?
No.
So it's not to pass, Jan. It's a very big difference.
What?
I think a two-thirds or greater threshold to pass them is perfectly reasonable. But to have a two-thirds proposal to propose, a two-thirds threshold to merely make the motion is, frankly, ridiculous because at that point, why even have a vote if you got two-thirds already just if it takes two-thirds to propose it, then a minority perspective will never be on the table.
Mm. This is Teresa. It seems to me more than two board members or more than three delegates should be required to bring it up, or you might be discussing bylaw changes constantly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to spend the next 50 years amending these damn bylaws. We've just spent a whole year on them.
Now, don't use the adjective damn.
Well,
I think we have to be careful here.
Well, the KPFT lab comments seem to be the same thing, too, Teresa. I got them up here. And it says this section seems to be limiting any change to that which is approved by one council for the foundation. I guess this is Deb suggesting that different opinions need to be considered.
Oh, that's a different
part. That's a different part of it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I would suggest, I think requiring two-thirds of the board to propose an amendment that then has to be approved by a majority of the board is too high. So I take Dave's first comment as being a good one, and maybe we could lower if you want.
I think two is too low.
Well, how about a third of the board?
Can I propose eight?
Eight?
That's a majority. I mean, not a majority, but I mean, that's okay. That's what? That's
a third of the board.
Or near a third. That's over a third.
So there are 20 members of the board,
or maybe 23.
Or 23.
Up to 23.
Up to 23.
Which would get you close to your age, Jabari.
Well, six. I understand Dave's point, but...
I get Dave's point, too. So we're just...
So it's just a numbers game.
Yeah. I also understand Teresa's point, too.
Well, a six is a number I would accept. Does anybody object to that number so we can move along?
Okay, well, I'm
okay, well, my motion's on the table for it to be two directors, three delegates, or 1% of the members. That's my motion. Is there a second? Y'all are killing me over here now. I got to go back to the KPFK lab.
Okay. Well, tell them we beat you up.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
I'm
so now we're not.
Excited. All right, so. Is there another motion?
I like Jabari's six directors.
Okay, for point one, I move that we make the number six for the number of board members who are necessary to propose an amendment.
Yep, I'll second that.
Okay, recite that again, I'm sorry.
I propose that the number of members, board members who must be necessary to propose amendment be six, be at least six.
Okay.
What about the local station board?
I'm just dealing with one.
Okay.
So that we can just walk through these things.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion? No discussion? Let's move
question.
To call the question. To vote yes is to say that there requires six members of the board of directors to propose an amendment to the bylaw.
Did you say six or eight?
Six.
Six is the motion. Pete?
Yes.
Dennis?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
George?
Let me think.
Okay, Teresa?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Mari?
Yeah. Yes.
George?
Yes.
Pretty good. Okay, next.
Was that unanimous?
Yes.
Unanimous.
Scary.
Okay.
Okay, point
now,
two.
We've got 2/3 vote of one LSD to propose an amendment. Does anybody want to change that? In order to approve it, it takes majority vote of three LSDs.
Well, now, that's something we're going to talk about, because I think we need to have a higher threshold to approve bylaw amendments. But currently what we're looking at is a 2/3 vote of an LSD to propose an amendment. Now, I previously made my motion relative to lowering that threshold. It failed for lack of a second. Has anyone got a motion relative to modifying Article 16, Section 1, Sub A 2, in which it takes a 2/3 vote of a local station board to put on the national board agenda the revision of a bylaw?
I'd say majority vote.
Okay.
One LSB can get it on the national board's agenda.
That's the motion by Carol. Is there a second? The motion being that it would take a majority vote of a local station board to place on the agenda of the board of directors an amendment to the bylaws. To place on the agenda. Is there a second? I'll second if no one else does. I'm worried about this kid. What's up?
Well, this is Teresa. I'm thinking if it's, not that I would feel this would happen, but if you had one maverick LSB that just kept churning out bylaws amendments, that also could throw a wrench in the works.
That's to propose it to put it on the national board agenda. It doesn't mean to stop the foundation.
Right.
Put it on the agenda.
Yeah.
Right.
Could I interject?
What's wrong with two-thirds then?
Are you done, Teresa? Did you complete your comment, Teresa? I'm sorry.
I'm finished. I'm fine.
Well, there is a provision here that the national board is going to hold these things. All of them. Until a voting period, and only do it once a year, address bylaws proposals.
I think it should be more than one LSB. I think it would be good for them to be talking to each other about stuff like this if they want to do something. So it shouldn't just come from one. They'd have to go do their work. And
I'm inclined to agree with Dennis.
Hostile attacks with other folks.
Can I make a motion?
Here, go.
Okay, there's a motion on the table, and you're offering a substitute motion, Jabari. Go ahead.
I would say that there would have to be agreement with two LSBs on the same exact wording of a proposed amendment to be placed on
by majority.
I'll accept that as a friendly amendment.
Majority,
I don't think we need the same exact. I mean,
right.
Same exact wording is implied. To propose the amendment, it takes two.
That's good enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
Majority of two LSBs.
Two LSBs.
Okay. Is there any discussion on this? Hearing no call for discussion. The motion is a substitute motion accepted by Carol. Seconded?
I second that motion.
Okay. And that is that it would... In order for a motion for an amendment to bylaws to come onto the national board agenda through the local station board, it would require a majority vote of at least two local station boards. It's awkward wording, I know. Sorry.
We know what you mean.
Yeah. Okay, everyone clear?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, call the question.
Yes.
Pete?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
I'll say yes. George?
Okay, yes.
Teresa?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Ari?
Yeah.
And next. Next issue relates to what threshold of members is required. Currently it says a petition assigned by at least 1% of all members. That's all members, I suppose, members within a given signal area.
Yes.
You need somewhere in the neighborhood of 10,000 signatures.
No, 1,000.
All right. We don't have a million listeners? Members?
No, 100,000.
We have roughly 100,000 members. 10%
is 10,000.
1% is
1,000. Sorry.
1,000.
Where are we? I'm sorry.
Article 16, Section 1.
Little 3.
A,
oh, we're still at A?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Sub A1.
All right, so the question then is that doable? And we know that getting 1,000 members in one place is not doable. So they would have to do it by circulating
an electronic petition.
Yeah, so in order for the members to effectively propose an amendment, there'd have to be a committee somewhere that came up with some language,
mm-hmm.
and then they would have to ask the foundation to do a mailing for them in order to get 1,000 signatures.
All right.
That's what it would take, because 1,000 people, it's not possible.
Well, that's not true. I get these electronic petitions all the time.
Maybe verifiable.
Well, an electronic petition is not a petition that, I mean, we can't verify signatures on an electronic email thing.
But frankly, we're all organizers. Getting 1,000 signatures is not huge if it's a good issue.
Excuse, can I just say something?
Sorry.
This is Barry. I think when you look at the hierarchy of these, of the ways, I mean, again, this is not all in isolation. If a person really, if a group of people really thought there needed to be an amendment and they couldn't get it through the LSB to take a vote on it, and they couldn't get a board member, their board members in their local area to support it, then it's probably not a good amendment. And so if they are left with the last resort of trying to get X number of people around the country to sign on it, I think that's good for them to have to win over. I mean, 1%, I mean, you can't go much lower than 1% of your membership.
To propose it. So just
to propose it, exactly.
Right, so we're talking about getting roughly 1,000 signatures by going around, and, you know.
Right, and my point is this, that's an act of last resort.
Uh-huh.
If a person couldn't convince their board members and their PND members and or their LSB
yes.
members that this amendment was of such significance that they should support it.
I think that's a good point.
I have a question. If they do get the signatures, you were saying you can't verify the electronic ones. Will it be incumbent upon the board to have to verify these 1,000 signatures?
It's submitted to the foundation secretary under the current construct.
Yeah, the secretary would have to, in fact, verify that they had 1,000 members who signed.
Well, you know, excuse me, you know an easy way to deal with this? Eliminate this way.
No.
No, members ought to be able to propose an amendment, I think.
No, my point is that if you want to, I mean, I'm not saying that you could do it, but I'm saying that the point is that if we're all working together and these people are not just coming from way out of the blue and have no normal contact with the process, then they're probably coming to LSB meetings because they see a need based on some deficiency that they see for these amendments to come, you know, to come into existence.
Is there a motion on the table to modify?
No, you know, we approved that the members can propose amendments. I don't want to revisit that. We'd create a firestorm if we took
that. Right.
You're not down. They'd be right.
Is there a motion on the table?
I move that we keep the language the same.
Someone's making some noise in the background. Please, let's refrain. Is there any motion on the table?
To keep the motion, the language the same.
Who's running water?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was washing dishes. Sorry. I'm throwing off quick.
Okay, if you want to do that, come on over here. Now, okay, Article 15, Section 1, there's no motion to modify Section 1B, voting and approval.
Just
Erica.
Yeah,
just to briefly explain what's going on in each of these sections, Section B1 addresses the process by which any amendment which is proposed would address. Our major concern was that the board not being bombarded all year with having to look at all these different proposals for amendments, and so our suggestion is that the board basically hold all proposals and then have one ballot each year to address all the amendments.
I like that.
Because then you're not spending time and resources.
That's with the regular election, right?
Actually, it's at a time which is determined by the board, so we're leaving that with the board after the best time to do that. Moving from that one down to number two, in order for new...
Before you move on, Erica?
Sure.
Does that contemplate that if the National Board wants to change the a bylaw, and it's one of those bylaws that doesn't require members' approval, that we would then be required to hold it to the specific time? Suppose there were something that were, you know, really important that we needed to change in order to conduct business, and it's not one of these things.
As the language reads right now, even if the board had some kind of bylaw, it would still have to wait and just do it at one time. So the question becomes whether or not you want to do a carve-out for certain types of
Well, I can't even think of it, but I don't know what it would be.
The only thing I've thought about is if the foundation obtains one more radio station, and so it needs to amend the bylaws to increase, you know, to address the fact that the board of directors would now have to have a higher number of directors, for example, or how to deal with that issue, that may be something which you want to address sooner than all the other ones.
Mm-hmm. That would require members' approval, too.
Yes, it would.
Okay. How about all... I don't know if we need to carve out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the board has the ability to determine what the annual voting period will be. The problem is that if you decided, you know, one year, you know, it's December, for example, and then, you know, something happened in February... it would be difficult to then...
to wait for another year.
Yeah.
Well, how about, can we just propose some a carve out here that says... at the discretion of the board, all properly proposed bylaws shall be held? Does that give the board the discretion to send out one bylaw if it wants to? Second sentence starts, all properly proposed bylaws amendments shall be held. Da-da-da-da.
Right.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry, let's take the first one. There shall be a maximum of one ballot per 12-month period related to the amendments of the bylaws. What if we said, unless the board by two-thirds majority decides to...
Decides otherwise.
I mean, just give the board the authority to get around that if it has to.
Right.
Yeah, let's say we forgot something that we had to do to have the elections.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, and it really needs to be a bylaws change.
Right.
And we can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine with me. If the board
I can't think of an exact wording, but can we vote on the concept and have you come up with the wording?
That's fine with me if the board accepts that.
But it'll be to the effect that the board with a two-thirds majority can decide to do it.
Yeah, unless the board decides otherwise by a two-thirds vote.
Okay,
yeah.
So the motion by Carol is under Article 16, Section 1B1.
Yeah.
Adding at the beginning of the language, before the phrase, there shall be a maximum, add the language, unless the board by a two-thirds majority decides otherwise, comma, there shall be a maximum of one ballot for 12 months, etc.
Yeah, that's good enough.
And the motion is a second.
Say that again,
adding at the beginning of that section, unless the board by a two-thirds majority decides otherwise, then there shall be a maximum of one ballot per 12-month period, et cetera.
Okay.
Can I just ask a procedural question about this? My concern is that there are people who would propose bylaws and not be concerned about taking them through the local station board. So the way to cut through the way we avoid frivolity is everybody that wants to propose bylaws gets them stuck on one ballot.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's the idea.
And I second the motion. Okay. Is there any discussion? Is there any questions? Hearing none. The vote yes is to add that language, unless the board by two-thirds majority decides otherwise, etc., to Article 16(1)(e)(1). Okay. The vote yes is to add. Pete?
Yes.
Dennis?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Boris?
Yes.
Teresa?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Ari?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I see yes. And I'll vote yes. Done? Okay.
All right, moving on.
I have a concern, and I would like, if I could, address
Eric the B1?
A concern relative to those ballots which have to be distributed to the members, that there be some language requiring that they be distributed along with the regular election, because the turnout and attention to these issues are far, far, far more likely to be sufficient for a quorum than if these ballots were cast in between election cycles. What does the language really provide at this stage? Is the board of discretion to do it that way, but also discretion not to?
Yes.
Yeah.
It does. The board has discretion to do it any way it wants. It just has to be sure that each year it has at least one voting period for issues related to bylaw amendment.
Me and KPFK are very concerned, and again, I agree, Jabari, that we should operate on our hopes and not our fears. I vehemently agree with that. However, the concern is that based on prior experiences with Pacifica, that manipulation of the elections could be done such that if the board was really against the otherwise qualified amendment and it were to schedule it in between elections, it could darn near guarantee failure to get a quorum in a balloting. Thus, that the ballot should be done during the regular election cycle. That is, as an insert in the ballot for local boards. So the motion from the KPFK Local Advisory Board would add language to sub 1 that all amendments requiring member approval shall be balloted to the members along with regular elections.
Okay, so is there a second to that motion?
I'll second it.
You're going to second it, Pete?
Yeah.
I have one concern about that. I thought about it, too, and thought that was a good idea, but then I began to think that the ballot might be so overwhelming if, for instance, there were 24 candidates and 5 bylaws amendments, that it might reduce voter turnout because the voters would be...
nonplussed.
Yeah, and so I'm not sure that it wouldn't backfire to put those things together. Or to require that they be put together. I am concerned about voter overload.
Can I respond? Yeah, I think that the alternative would be to have whole separate ballots and to have numerous ballots during the year, potentially. Mm-hmm. And I think that if people are running for the local board, I think part of the issue will be, what is their position on these proposed amendments to the bylaws? Because the amendments to the bylaws are very substantive. Typically, or they should be, at least if they require member approval. Therefore, to do it other than during that would both allow the candidates to avoid accountability as to their position on these issues, and two, I think it would really deter turnout. Indeed, were we to be getting, as the referendum process in California has been so abused, were we to be getting 10 or 12 amendments a year, that could be a problem. But with the thresholds for qualification of these matters, I dare say that they'd be seldom, but vital. And thus, I think they should be in conjunction with, simultaneous to the election of local station board members. Any other discussion on this issue?
I'd just like to put my 2 cents worth into for what Rob and Carol said. I think we're going to overwhelm people.
Well, the point is, when would the ballots happen otherwise? But okay. Any other comments?
Just from a scheduling perspective, if you guys proceed with that, then what would you have to then kind of set in stone the dates that the board and the local station boards vote.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way that the voting works is that the board and the local boards vote on the ballot on the amendment. And then in the event that it is either an amendment that passes but requires a vote of the members for reasons set forth in 2-3 or in B3, or if it's a amendment that didn't pass but was proposed by members, the members are then entitled to vote on it. So the board and the local station boards have to go first, and there's a 60-day period there. So that may require that all boards and local station boards meet around, I want to say, May to do that. And I know that we just had a discussion earlier about the board meeting in March and June.
I have a question then, because I want to make sure I understand what you just said, or
sure.
The ramifications of what you just said.
Just
is it a requirement? Okay, right now there's three ways that a proposed amendment to the bylaws can be presented, correct?
Right.
Is it the fact that the board first, the National Pacifica National Board, would first have to itself approve the amendment?
Is that a requirement?
Yes.
In order for the amendment to pass, the directors, or currently at least three of the local station boards, would have to approve it, with the exception of two situations.
Okay. Let me make sure you're understanding my question.
Okay.
We got three ways to have proposed amendments created.
Yes.
Those proposed amendments would go to the Pacifica National Board.
Yes.
The Pacifica National Board, then, that body of people would then vote itself to either accept
mm-hmm.
the proposed amendments or reject the proposed amendment. Is that correct?
Yes.
If there is a rejection of the proposed amendment, no matter where it came from, then there would no longer be any need to have any further action on the amendment. Is that correct?
No, that's not correct.
Okay.
Under B2 and the double I, there was a request that if a member has proposed an amendment based on this petition, and if the directors and the local station boards fail to vote in favor of it, that amendment would still get one more chance to go before the members. So there is a possibility that if an amendment was proposed by members and the board didn't vote for it, the members are still entitled to vote on it themselves.
Yeah, and if I recall, Erica, you and I looked at the California law, and we have to give members the right to amend the bylaws. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, there is some question as to, you know, what the exact process has to be, but it does appear that the members are entitled to have a certain amount of voting power. And based on our understanding that was consistent with what you guys wanted to do, we didn't research it further. But if there is some concept of taking away the power of the members to vote, we would want to double check and make sure that is possible, because I think that the members are entitled to a limited right to vote.
I don't think we want to do that anyway. You don't
no,
have to
we
write.
Don't.
And so our thinking was, if it was an amendment which was proposed by members and the board and local station boards passed it, then it's okay. And then why bother with having the members kind of ratify it? But if the members have petitioned something and it was not accepted by the board and local station boards, that they would get this one more opportunity to be able to vote.
Makes sense to me.
And the only other time that they have a right to vote would be if the board and local station boards voted in an amendment that would impact any of their rights as set forth under this B3 concept, which are concepts set forth under California law, which require a vote of the members in order for them to be effective.
So, Erica, let me make sure I understand.
Sure.
on the provision three, or the third way, if you have a proposed amendment coming from the body, the membership body.
Yes.
Not from the board, not from the LSBs as a LSB.
Right.
And the board rejected it,
mm-hmm.
did not vote to approve the proposed amendment.
Mm-hmm.
That is the only, is that the only time that the members as a distinct body of themselves can choose to have an election over a rejected proposed amendment?
Yes.
So if the LSBs submit a proposed amendment that gets rejected by the national board, they don't have another shot, or do they have another shot?
They don't have another shot.
Okay, so
and
only
same thing for directors.
Right. So I'm just trying to make sure I understand.
Yes.
Technically, mechanically, how this thing works.
Mm-hmm.
So if the majority of the if whatever that threshold of members have the ability to propose, get it proposed, and get it rejected, then they have this other bite at the apple.
Right.
You know, correct me if I'm wrong, please, Carol, as a secretary. My understanding is that there's a motion currently pending that I propose, whereby all bylaws and amendments which require member approval shall be balloted to the members along with regular elections. And that was seconded by Pete.
Yeah, and I think we take a vote on that?
No.
No, we did not.
Not yet.
Well, we're trying to understand the whole voting
process. And I appreciate it. I just want to make sure I'm not missing something procedurally here. Because I'm not seeing it all. Yeah, that's good. Now, the question, though, becomes one of, is there any concerns relative to this discussion we've had so far that affects how we'll understand this motion pending?
Say your motion again.
All bylaw amendments which require member approval shall be balloted to the members along with regular elections. And I would add to that some proviso that, you know, less impractical or...
Yeah.
Defeat the purpose of the amendment or something like that, because or where practicable, all bylaw amendments which require member approval shall be balloted to the members along with regular elections.
Balloted isn't a word I recognize in English.
Where practicable
shall be mailed for approval of the members or something.
Shall be
submitted to the members for approval.
Submitted to the members. Okay. To the members. So where practicable, all bylaw amendments which require member approval shall be submitted to the members along with regular elections.
Okay, and there was a second on that. Should we vote?
And no further. Okay, and any further comment or question? Hearing none, let's vote. So say yes is to adopt this as an amendment to Article 16.
Excuse me, Dave. I'm sorry. I got distracted. Could you just repeat that again?
No. Just kidding. Okay. Article 16, Section 1, Sub B, 1, would add the following language at the end. Where practicable, all bylaw amendments which require member approval shall be submitted to the members along with regular elections.
At the time of the election of delegates.
Along with regular delegate ballots.
That's at the end of this first big paragraph.
Correct. Along with regular delegate ballots.
Under voting and approval.
That's the motion. Any further questions? Pete?
Yes.
Dennis?
No.
Carol?
No.
George?
Let me think about this one for a second, please.
Teresa?
No.
Bob?
No.
Marty?
No.
Although, yes. George?
No.
And
I would like to say something. Dave, you're bringing up points from your local advisory board.
That's correct. I'm a local advisory board representative to the national board. I was nominated by David Adelson, but I only accepted the role insofar as I was elected by the local advisory board. Mm. And it's a position which I take. I do not expect that others... You're
what in the world? That's your disclaimer. Okay, can we get on with it? My question is this. Carolyn, you seem to be bringing up some things that your board is bringing up, too. My lab sent their comments, I think, to you. And I thought in the agenda we were going to get to lab, you know, some concerns of labs.
We decided to go through this whole document addressing any concerns as they came up, not to go back through it a second time.
Well, I guess I've been expecting you to bring up my lab's concerns.
I did that at the last meeting. At this point, I have not been doing it.
I can appreciate that. Do you have a copy of them that Deb sent to you?
Oh, I started to look for it a few minutes ago and then got distracted.
If you can possibly send them to me, because I think they might be very upset if these things are not brought up, because we're handling it differently from lab to lab here.
All right. Let me find it. I can. KPFK lab comments.
George, do you have any of those?
I sent them to the whole board when I got them from Jeffco.
This is Erica. I'm going to take a quick, just 2 second break because I'm pregnant and I have to go to the restroom. And I've been holding it since 7:30. I'll be right back, I swear. Okay, hold on.
We'll take a five minute break where we can chat and entertain the people who are stuck listening to us online.
All right, that's okay. Here we go.
Thank you.
Lab.
Excuse me, it's 2:40 here on the East Coast.
Yeah.
I haven't eaten.
Nobody has.
When
I've been eating while the meeting was going on.
Huh? We have to finish this today.
Please.
Because she has to finish this to get it out to
her. I'm
running the fridge right now, man.
We're at the end of this thing. Are we like 20 minutes away,
We're close about half an hour away, I think. Less than that. Because this is the last section, amendment of articles. All right, I'm forwarding the KPFT comments to you, Teresa, right now.
Okay. Thank you. I probably already had it, but I've just been...
We all get overloaded with email and lose it. I know I do.
Can you remember which article we started off with today, Carol?
We started just after...
Eight?
Seven.
Term.
Seven.
Six or seven, I think.
Six
or seven.
And then I'll go back.
Okay.
Six, section seven. I mean, Article 6, Section 4, that was one of my many failed motions.
Okay, because they did have...
Hey, Dave?
Yeah?
Be glad you're not a baseball player. You would have been on the bench by now.
Why?
You struck out so many times.
Well, that depends on how you measure success, Jabari.
You struck out a few times yourself, Jabari.
Oh, no, I haven't, because I haven't pitched.
No. Let's not be putting notches in our belt.
Well, we're all...
Yeah, because my jeans would be falling off.
Okay, well, I'll point out that you listening to the Pacifica National Board conduct a meeting concerning bylaws, podcast on KPFTX. Thank you to KPFT and Otis Hardy McClay, the program director, and the other staff making this possible. And thank you to the listeners who make all of this possible. And thank you to the board who are attending today, which includes Pete Branson from KPFA.
Okay, it's Erica.
Carol Spooner from KPFA.
Erica's back.
Yeah.
Let me finish introducing everybody. Janice K. Breyer from WBAI. George Barnstone and Teresa Allen from KPFT. And Rob Robinson and Jabari Sakia from WPFW, and myself, David Furtick from KPFK in Southern California.
And Dave and the rest, we got at least 12 inches still of snow here, and I had made a Herculean effort to come in to make sure I was on the...
You are a hero. Thank you.
What do you want?
You know what, Jabari? You can have a snowman.
Somebody to thank you.
I'll give you some of my fresh oranges off the tree. Let me go pick them right now.
Hey, let's move. Come on, guys.
Next issue we have, we're working on the amendments under Article 16, sub B1. We just had a motion which failed relating to balloting. Next issue, please. That would be sub 2.
That'd be sub 2.
Thresholds for approval.
We have 2I and 2II, which basically, in order to be adopted, a bylaw amendment proposal would have to be approved by the majority of all directors and by the majority of at least 3 of the local station boards.
Excuse me, where are we specifically?
We're on page 39. It'll be B2I.
B... to
I.
In order for the board?
No, it says, yes, in order for new bylaws to be adopted, or these bylaws amended, under I, we're basically saying that a proposed amendment has to be adopted by the majority of the board and the majority of at least three of the local station boards.
It's actually stronger than that because a majority vote of the board is usually a majority of those present and voting. This changes it to a majority of all the directors.
But they, oh, okay.
So, you know, I mean, basically, if there's a 20-person board, you couldn't have a quorum of 12 and seven directors pass it. You see what I'm saying? You would have to get a minimum of a majority of all the directors. If it's a 20-person board, you would it would take a, at least 11 votes to pass it. Is that correct?
Yes.
And also by majority vote of all the delegates of at least three of the LSPs.
Somebody just join us?
Yeah, it's Kevin Fink. I'm back for more.
Oh, you love us, huh?
And we're still here.
Saddest, maddest. Is there proposed changes? That's what I'm trying to say. Is there proposed changes?
Motion, yes. That's a good point. Is there a motion relative to this number two?
No.
Well, let's move on.
Oh, once again, it's APFK Local Advisory.
Oh.
Hurry up, then.
Yeah. Said that it should be a two-thirds vote to approve.
Right.
And two-thirds vote at the LSB level as well, instead of a majority. I understand the difference between majority of all directors and majority of all delegates.
Dave, are you proposing a motion? Is that a motion?
Two-thirds of all directors and two-thirds of all delegates.
Is that a motion?
Making a higher threshold. That's the motion from and from KPFK.
Are you putting that on the floor now?
That's where it is.
Okay, is anyone seconding?
The table, actually. You might put it on the floor in a second, but it's on the table.
Is there a second?
Hey, feeling a second? Hey, maybe if I'm lucky, they'll throw me off the local board. Just kidding. I love working with you guys.
Yeah, they'll throw you off as soon as we get these bylaws done and a new board elected.
You can do that, doesn't Okay, so the next issue, that's sub 2.
It was 2I, and then there's
I,
2...
Sub 2, double I.
Right.
Okay, from the little I.
Erica, right. What page are we on?
We're on page 39 of the clean version, or page 44 of the red line version. We're at B2 double I, which basically provides that in the case of an amendment proposed by a member petition, if it is not passed pursuant to I above, that the member shall be entitled to vote for it.
Thank you.
To vote on the issue. And... any questions or comments on 2II?
Yeah, I have a question.
Sure.
Is there any threshold...
for members?
No. Listen. Okay, this is what I'm trying to say.
Sure.
Okay, the members can propose it based on that third alternative.
Mm-hmm.
And if the National Board rejects it, there is a provision that the members may then vote on it separately, correct?
Yes.
My question is... what threshold needs to be established for that to occur, or is that then an automatic occurrence?
We have a quorum. Are you talking about the quorum?
Yeah, okay, let me make sure I'm asking it correctly so you understand. Is it automatic that if a member group proposed amendment is rejected, does that automatically then kick into effect a process so that they can then vote on it separately, or should there be some kind of threshold of just like we have thresholds for other parts of the hierarchy and the chain for that to go forward? In other words, just because the board rejects it, does that mean there's enough support out there to even bother to go through with the vote?
Well, that's what the proposing amendment thing was. If we were requiring at least 1% of all members to sign the proposal.
But do you understand what I'm asking?
That's a threshold, isn't it?
And yeah, I think what you're saying is under Roman numeral lowercase II, is that then it shall be submitted to the members for voting, but if they were shot down at the local and national level, then does it get implemented by the members, and if so, at what threshold? Is that what you're asking, Jabari?
Well, yeah, basically, one is just to propose it, okay? So you get this low number of people
right.
to propose it,
mm-hmm.
and it gets rejected by the board.
Right.
Okay, my question is, okay, just because it gets rejected by the board, there is a possibility that the membership can vote on it regardless of the fact that the board rejected it. And my question is, what threshold, if any, are you putting in place so that this rejected and proposed amendment has been seen to be of enough importance to the general membership that they would bother voting on it?
Right.
Are you suggesting we raise it from 1%? You don't think that's high enough?
Well, no, he's talking about the proposal. He's talking about the voting.
Well, I know.
Right.
The only indication of support is the proposal, which is a petition signed by 1,000 people.
And to answer your question, Jabari, you're absolutely right. Once there's 1% who petitions, even if the board, Analytical Station Board, say no, under the current language, it goes directly for a vote
by
the members. There is no additional threshold.
Right, and that seems to be out of the spirit with everything else.
That language came to us based on what was explained to us as the desire of the board, which was to allow members to be able to vote even if the board and local station board said no. We're obviously open to increasing the threshold or doing something different if it's consistent with what the board wants.
And I think what Jabari's getting at is currently the way it's worded is having a vote has no effect because it shall be submitted to the members for voting, but if it was rejected by the local and national boards, then there's no statement whereby the members can then override, basically.
No.
I guess they can't.
No, I'm saying it's the other way around. I'm saying that a small group of people can have it rejected and still force a national vote, and I'm thinking about the cost and the disruption of the operations.
Right. Well, it's 1,000 people. I don't think that's
very 1,000 people can do this.
It's 1,000 people.
Yeah, but it's 1% of the membership. That's so.
Right.
So I'm looking at it from the point of view of you can get a small group of riled up people who can be constantly rejected, but still force the foundation to spend money and time to vote on something that has been rejected by other bodies of people.
I think you're right, Jabari.
So you're saying that think there needs to be another way.
What threshold would you propose? I mean, you're saying 1,000 is too low. Then give us a higher threshold.
I would think probably then that if this amendment would have to go back and they would need to get like a higher threshold of members to say, well, we want to hold an election on this thing.
So it has to go back to them and then have some kind of...
Just like the president
in a referendum.
Right. Yeah. Just like
if it was rejected, it's got to have a higher threshold to get on the ballot.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't think it saves us any real trouble here, and I'll tell you why. Because the members have the right to require the foundation to do a mailing to the members to solicit their signatures on these petitions. Why don't we just do the mailing to hold the vote? The members do have that right. Is one of their what do you call it? It's within the legitimate interest of the members to amend the bylaws, and they have the right to solicit signatures in support, and they have the right to our membership list in order to do it, or we do the mailing for them. So I don't think we're really saving ourselves trouble.
I'm not sure if that is dealing with the issue that I'm raising. I'm just raising the issue of the fact that when a listener or a member's proposed amendment gets defeated, that
at the board and local board level. Right.
Yeah, at the board and the local level, they have it proposed. They have already met the threshold to get it proposed.
Right.
It is proposed. It is reviewed by every other member. Other members are looking, obviously, at these things, so it's not like some other group of people are looking at it. We're all members. And the majority of the members say, no, this is not a valid proposed amendment. We don't, at this time, feel it's necessary. But under these bylaws, we are still, as I read them, required to give these people a vote on these bylaws. And that doesn't really make sense, and it from a cost and operations point of view, I think there needs to be something other that these people have to do to substantiate that there's enough need out there. You're right.
But Jabari, most of the members will have never known that this bylaws proposal happened. most of the members won't know at all. It'll be.
I don't understand it because if it's a member derived amendment, they by definition have to go to the members to bring that that proposal to the members. So if they didn't do that, they didn't do their job well.
I'm talking about the 100,000 members we have. They, through committees and networks and contacting each other, gathered together 1,000 people, signatures in support of something. That doesn't mean that most or even 10% of our members ever saw it or know about it. It's just, it's quite improbable to me that most of our members would know about it. It would be people working together and contacting each other and through different groups getting signatures. But it wouldn't be something that was on the air. It wouldn't be something that had necessarily been mailed to people or discussed anywhere except at LSB members, but with local board meetings where somewhere between 10 and 50 people show up. I mean, it's just unlikely to me that most of the members would know about it.
But it seems to me, Carol, that that's sort of like what he's saying. You've got to get away from some insular group causing this. And if it's really that important, that they will make it known to the rest of the membership.
That's exactly my point, Janice. That's exactly the point.
Is this a language promotion?
Basically,
you're looking for a higher number of people to be behind it.
Yes.
Is what you're telling us.
Yes. Yes.
You're saying that 1,000 people is not enough.
I'm saying that...
I'm looking at a proposal that would solve this problem. I hear the issue. Can you give us a specific proposal?
Yeah, I would say that if for this section here under 2II, that for a vote on a rejected amendment, proposed amendment by the listener, by members, that they would have to get 10%, they would have to have a referendum to get at least 10% of the approval of the membership to put it on the ballot.
That would render it virtually impossible and somewhat meaningless, I think. I'm sorry, I'm arguing the motion.
Well, I was saying 10%, but it just seems superfluous to say that just because you have the mechanisms to propose an amendment and you get it rejected through whatever the process that we have created for evaluations of amendments.
Right, we'll get it, Jabari.
Okay, then a petition signed by at least 2% of all members has to be.
So then in the language under 2II.
No, not the first time, the second time around.
I understand.
Oh, okay.
In the language under 2II, after the language where it states, if any proposed amendment is not approved by the board or LSBs, then, and we're going to add the language there, then, upon petition of X percent of the members, it shall be submitted to the members for voting.
X percent within a certain time period.
Well, you know, okay.
I'm just trying to offer a construct. I mean, whatever the motion is your motion.
You're right. Well, X percent within a certain time period. They either can do it or they can't.
Well, in the first place, the reason this bylaws amendment proposal came by way of a petition of the members is because they couldn't persuade their local boards to propose it. So we already know it's going to lose at the national and local level. Because if they had been able to, through normal meeting procedures and serving on committees, to persuade their local boards that this was a good idea, it would have already gone to a vote. So it's been rejected. And so they're saying, well, we really think there's an arrogance of power here, and they're wrong. And the bylaws should be amended to do this. So we have this other option, and that is to get a petition with enough signatures on it, send it up to the national board and let them reject it, and then the ballot comes back to the members. So it seems to me that we ought to just set the threshold where we want it in the first place.
Okay, my concern is this, is what Janice kind of alluded, that we're talking about amending the bylaws.
Yeah.
Okay, this is really, really important.
Yeah.
So if the issue isn't really seen to be important by a large group of people, the bylaws shouldn't be amended. That's exactly the point.
That's right.
That one little small group of people, just because they feel that other people just don't get it, shouldn't override everybody else.
Well, it has to. Nobody argues that with you about that. They would have to go to a vote of the members, and they'd have to get a lot of support to get it passed. But we're trying to figure out how to get it to the members.
Okay, and I'm proposing that there be a threshold that they would have to go within a certain time period after the rejection of the proposed amendment to bring the motion to a vote from the general body.
Well, you're proposing a heightened threshold to have it submitted to the members after rejection by the boards and LSPs.
Right.
It had already been qualified and presented to them. After discussion, they discarded it.
Right.
Now it's going to go to the voters. And the threshold that you suggest is what percentage?
Well, I said 10, but let's make it 2%. I don't care. 2%. So you would need at least twice as many people.
Okay. And so second to that. Join the club, Jabari.
Yeah, I'll second it.
Yeah.
Okay. And,
that's something else. We getting ready to vote?
Well, I don't know. I just got a quick comment. But if no one else got discussion, then I would do that. Okay, my comment is simply this. I think that Carol's point is a valid one. However, I think as I mentioned a moment ago, it's a 1% threshold to get it in front of the local boards and national boards and talk it up. If by then we still haven't persuaded them, then there should be, I argue, a slightly higher threshold to actually cause us to incur the cost and delays of another balloting. So I think 2% is not unreasonable, given that's only a couple, you know, 2,500 people or something.
You think it is not unreasonable?
I think it's not as such a high as to prevent the voice of the members from being heard. Real issue is going to be the next vote, which is going to be, well, if the members vote and are trying to override the board, what kind of threshold is going to require for that? But that's not where we're at. Right now, the motion is to amend Article 16, Section 1, Sub 2.
Could I speak to the motion? I think that it would be more practical to require the 2% to propose it in the first place.
It's a proposal?
Yeah, because as a practical matter, they will have been lobbying their local boards to try to get the local boards to propose it. The local boards will know about it, the national boards will have already said, we don't like this idea. That's what's driven them to do the petition in the first place. So I think it would save hassle for everybody, including the foundation, to just set the threshold for the proposal at 2%, and then go.
It'll be 2% across the board,
and then not do a second. And then if the national board and the local boards don't approve it, it goes to the members for their approval, a vote of the members.
Well, that's them.
Instead of providing the second hurdle, you mean?
Yes, that's my proposal.
Are you accept that as a substitute motion?
No,
that's my objection to what the motion on.
I see. Okay.
So that's my argument against it, and I would offer it as a substitute motion if this motion fails.
Any further discussion? Okay. The motion is that to insert at Article 16, Section 1B, sub lowercase ii,
the last sentence
after the phrase "approved by the board" and is not approved by the board and LSBs, comma, then. And then add the language, upon a petition signed by 2% of the members, end quote, and then continue with the language, it shall be submitted to the members for voting. That's the motion. Any questions? Are we clear? The question then has been called.
Excuse me, Dave?
Yes.
Okay, for the purpose of time, I'll just let it go.
No,
it was just an issue of there needs to be a specific, at least a designated time period that they need to get these signatures and not make it an open-ended, perpetual process.
Petition signed by 2% within X time. What time?
90 days.
Provided, however, the foundation gives them the mailing list within 10 days, yeah, that's reasonable.
In 90 days.
Is this creating more work for the foundation?
Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah.
That's my objection to it.
And that's the way you see you're getting around that is just requiring the 2% in the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay, that motion is down the road. Okay, so if my petition is signed by 2% within 90 days, and obviously cooperation is required, otherwise there'd be an objection to the time. So the point is that that's the language inserting after the term if any proposed amendment is not approved by the board in LSVs, comma, adding this following language, upon petition signed by 2% within 90 days, it shall be submitted to the members for voting.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, can we call a question?
Yeah. No objection? Pete?
Yes.
Janice?
Yes.
Carol?
No.
George?
Yes.
Teresa?
No.
Bob?
No.
Ari?
Yeah.
So that's tied, the motion fails.
Okay, now can we deal with Carol?
Who voted how?
Yes, Janice voted yes, Carol voted no, Burdick voted no, George voted yes, Teresa voted no, Rob voted no, Jabari voted yes.